Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. It is time for kickoff. It is a huge, huge NFL Monday, and there was some breaking news in the Big Apple. Zach Wilson finally put on the bench. Robert Saleh said he has had enough. He has seen enough. The Jets are benching their starting quarterback, Zach Wilson, for Tim Boyle. And they got a game on Black Friday for the first time in the history of the NFL. Let's head to the desk because you're already laughing. You already got it going. Let's make some sense of the chaos. Shady, do you blame Robert Saleh for the Jets' mess?
No, I don't. I think as a defensive of coach, right? He's that coach, but his thing is defense. That's what he's brought there for. Mm-hmm. He's done his job. They've been a good, solid defense. And it's hard to be a great defense when your quarterback is turning the ball over. Your quarterback's not extending drives, putting points up. That's hard to do. So I blame a lot of this thing on Zach Wilson and also just Mother Nature of football. They put all this money into Aaron Rodgers to come there and play, right, and be a great player. And he gets hurt with the third, fourth play. I mean, so I can't really blame everybody. I got to blame a little bit of that Mother Nature of guys getting hurt on that bad turf.
Yeah.
And also bad quarterback play.
Yeah, this is all on Zach. And I believe Robert Saleh gave him chance after chance after chance to show yourself. You was the number two overall pick to our organization. We drafted you. And I believe that they gave him so many opportunities to go out there and have success, and he just could not do it. If anybody's watching these Jets games with their own two eyeballs, you have not seen Zach Wilson make a throw yet to where you're like, okay, that's why he's out there. Zach Wilson is not seeing the game well. Zach Wilson is not even looking at his first reads. If you watch the Buffalo Bills game, it's a handoff or the offensive coordinator is calling a screen pass. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't even know how many receivers had to catch that game. I turned it off, you know, because he wasn't even throwing the ball down the field. And receivers are winning, but he's not even seeing the game the right way. So, for me, you can go to the coach if you want to, but if you're watching these Jets football games and you're seeing this defense dominate, and then you go into the offensive side of the ball and really just with your own eyes watching how Zach Wilson is playing football, he was not playing good football, and this is all on Zach.
All of it.
All of it.
All of it?
Every last bit of it.
I can't do all of it.
Ooh, wait, what?
Because if we did all of it, then they should look much better when he's not there, right? They should be improved. But they're not.
This week.
They're bad without him. They're bad with him. And we're going to find out this week.
Yep.
You feel good about it? You feel good about Tim Boyle this week?
I mean, I don't really feel good about the Jets, so.
Why don't you feel good about the Jets?
Because, I mean, I just feel like emotionally I think this team is checked out. I mean, when you watch the defense take the field, they're like, man, we just got off the field.
And why shouldn't they be? Why shouldn't they feel that way?
Because I think the guy under the center.
Yeah.
Look, Zach is responsible for a lot of the struggles that the Jets have. But the Jets struggle when Zach's not there, too. So something, the math isn't mathing for it being all his fault if he's not there.
What you mean he's not there? You mean
so let's take the rookie season out, right? We give rookies a pass. He was bad his rookie season.
Right. Right?
We didn't feel good
about
how his rookie season went. But we all say, okay, it's a rookie season. We got to give guys time to develop, right? Nobody's freaking out about Bryce Young. He's a rookie, right? Rookies are great. That's great. If he's not great, maybe he needs some more time.
Okay.
So we won't count the rookie season. Last year, right, he missed the first three games. They went 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
He came back. They were up. They were down. Week 11, he doesn't take blame for the loss. They end up benching him. They go 1-2.
Right.
So they're not good without him. They're not good with him. So then what are you? Are you a good football team? Are you a bad football team that has a bad quarterback? Are you just a bad football team? I don't know. But what I know is that they struggle with him and they struggle without him. So I can't say that it's all Zach Wilson's fault, because when Zach Wilson is not there and he is not responsible for the loss, they still lose. So whose fault is it? I have to put some blame, one, on the individuals who brought Zach Wilson in. Keep in mind, Zach Wilson did come from BYU. Mm-hmm. We were all a little surprised when we heard, wow, he's locked into that spot. They said, for the draft, we're going with him. Like, whoa, because he jumped some other guys that we were thinking that might be going in that spot. But all right, you feel good. Feel great about what you saw from Zach Wilson. Who's responsible for getting Zach Wilson there? Zach Wilson didn't ask to go to the Jets. So someone has to be responsible for that assessment as well. And there's busts and bad choices all the time, right. But someone makes those choices. Mm-hmm. So are they not responsible for bringing him there? And then my biggest point in all of this is you had some bad luck. All right. Whether maybe it's because he is pushing 40 that Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Maybe it's because the offensive line wasn't great, which someone up here said was going to be a problem. Don't know who, but turned out to be right about that. Maybe that's the reason why. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just the football gods, right? Mother nature of football, right? That Aaron Rodgers isn't here. But when he went down, you did nothing. You came back with Zach Wilson and said, this is our guy. Forget all that stuff that we did. Forget the fact that we benched him last year. Yep. Forget the fact that he wasn't good last year or his rookie season. We're going to roll with Zach Wilson again. And if things go badly, guess who we're going to blame? Zach, you already knew he wasn't good. That's why you went and got Aaron Rodgers. You would not move off of the second overall pick for Aaron Rodgers if you had a thought that he was going to develop into your franchise quarterback. So, this is your fault. Ooh. It's got to be some of it. All your fault, but it's got to be some of your fault.
I just push back on the fact that, like, okay, so Sal's a defensive coach, right? Yeah. He comes over there, and they're doing really, really good defense, right? This year and a lot last year, okay? So you talked about him when he's not there, the quarterback. I think they have bad quarterback play. If you look at the Jets team, that's the one part that they're really missing. And then the draft part. So it's like, okay, well, you got somebody responsible for drafting Zach Wilson. The class was bad. So if I'm in a class, right, and we're drafting, we need a quarterback, right? That's why everybody takes shots at some of you guys. Like Trey Lance. He wasn't supposed to be that high, but we need a quarterback to go to the next level, so we get Trey Lance. But if you look at all the quarterbacks in that draft class, other than Trevor Lawrence, you got Lance, you got Fields, you got
Matt Jones. It's a bad draft class.
So I'm saying, like, what are you supposed to do?
Sala's the head coach, though. He's not the defensive coach. So either you are responsible for the whole team, or you're not.
No, what I'm saying is, like, what other options would you have?
I mean, he just got so much bad luck. I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? He's just bad luck after bad luck.
I mean, there's free agents out there and all that possibly he could have got. But for me, this is the dude that you drafted in the second round. Obviously, you
first
wanted Aaron.
First round. Overall.
Number two overall. But this is a dude that you drafted, number two overall. You thought Aaron was going to be the quarterback. Right. He got hurt, and it's like, okay. A newfound belief in this young fella, and I think this young fella has failed.
But see, this is the thing, though. Everybody's like, well, why did he play him again? I'm like, well, first of all, if I pick the number two pick overall, right, you got to give him some chances to play to see what we got. So then when you see, like, give him another shot. You give them a lot of shots. If you ever watch first-round draft picks, they don't be that good, and they always find themselves on the team.
No,
why is that?
They're going to get
his first round always get picks. And then like, Aaron Rodgers, that's why I couldn't blame everything on – I gave a lot of it to Zach. I gave a little bit to Sal because he is that coach, but – Aaron Rodgers, you go out there to get you. We need a quarterback. Let's go get one. We get a Hall of Fame dude. And then four plays, he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Like, and so I just, when we taking this blame, then we got to be, like, serious about it because it's hard to just say he gets everything or why shouldn't he get everything?
I don't think he should. I don't think any of it is everything. I think Saleh is to blame. I think the choice of taking Zach Wilson is to blame. I think Zach Wilson is to blame. Like, he's had opportunities, and he's not played well, nor has he handled all of it perfectly either.
Yeah.
But he's a young player. I'm just saying, if you're looking at where the Jets are right now, we know they have a ton of talent. That's why we talked about them the way we did leading up and having Aaron Rodgers there. That's why we talked about them potentially making the Super Bowl and how many playoff games were they going to win going into this. Not just because of the quarterback play, which we all believe Aaron Rodgers is the first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best ever played, but because of everything else they had around him, including the defense. I'm just saying, you chose this situation. You knew what Zach was, or Aaron Rodgers would not have been there. So, look what the Vikings just did.
Yeah.
The Vikings lose Kirk Cousins, Achilles injury, and do what? They're like, oh, well, the season's over? No. Like, go make some moves. Be aggressive. I can't sit here and cry for you when you came out with the same exact situation that you had last year that you chose to move off of and not say some of this is your fault.
It just sucks because I feel like everybody is doing their job. Like, I feel like if Coach Sala, I know you're the head coach, but you're the DC, I feel like the defense is playing well. I feel like them defensive players is playing well, right? When you watch the receivers, if you can, I got to play. I mean, my man Garrett Wilson is cooking dudes. If you turn Garrett Wilson tape on, he's winning.
He's great.
The ball ain't even coming. Look at this play right here. He's the number one wide receiver, right? And if you go, if you, what? Like, he the number one. And you not even looking over there. Like, it ain't even no passes down the football field. And I understand you can say offensive line, well, he got pressure. There's a lot of times he cleaned in that pocket, too, and the ball is not going down the field. As I watch the games, I feel like, dang, everybody doing their job but one position.
My issue with Zach Wilson and why I blame Zach Wilson, he hasn't gotten any better. And football brings something to the table. I was never the most athletic, but I was smart, so I probably won't go and bust the coverage. Now you have dudes that were athletic, but they might not be in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson, who and what are you? What does he do well? He's not athletic. You don't see him making any phenomenal, mind-blowing scrambles. He's not on time. He's not cerebral. I don't know what he is and what he does well. That's my issue with Zach Wilson is I don't even know what to write home about. Justin Fields, at least he's going to get out the pocket and get busy.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence, he's going to throw some dimes here and there. But Zach Wilson, what does he do well? Now, my issue, though, with management, to Joy's point, you identified the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
So you started with the false premise, and you're trying to make everything else right. And the problem in life, if you ever start with the false premise, if you start with wrong information, you're going to keep trying to look to make that information right. The Jets are in a dilemma because they believe Zach Wilson is a number two overall talent. So they keep playing and playing and playing, waiting for him to be a number two overall talent, when in all honesty, he's just not a number two overall talent. That's not how good he is. We do the same thing inversely with Brock Purdy. We're waiting for Brock Purdy to look like a seventh round pick. If Brock Purdy would have been drafted number two overall and Zach Wilson would have been drafted last overall, we never would have heard of Zach Wilson. And Brock Purdy, we'd be saying, yo, they're going to have to pay him in excess of $250 million. So my issue with the Jets is the false premise that they started all on. And Shady, wait, Zach ain't got no better.
So my thing is, like, what do you want them to do? Y'all keep saying it, like, they made a great move by going and get Aaron Rodgers. Okay? He gets hurt. So what are you supposed to do then?
I would have moved off of him sooner.
And do what?
I probably would have tried to be aggressive and get Dobbs, but we keep bragging about Dobbs like Dobbs is all that. Dobbs is a great story, but I think Dobbs is 3-10 as a starter, so we can all kind of calm down on that. But at least maybe tried again to go get Flacco. I would have got Carson.
Well, hold up. See, this is my issue when people talk about these things. I ask all my friends, they like, oh man, the Jets, they need a quarterback. I'm like, okay, so who? Joe Flacco? What?
I feel you.
When Joe Flacco played last year,
with the Jets, it wasn't good.
Not good.
It wasn't good.
Joe right?
Flacco.
Right?
Yeah.
So then who? Carson Wentz?
I would have gotten Wentz.
Why?
I would have gotten Wentz.
Why?
Because I think he's 31 years old and he has at least shown you a ceiling.
Yeah, but when we seen him play recently, right? Last year, we seen what it looked like.
It wasn't great.
So my thing is, like,
it was better than this.
But I'm saying, a little better, maybe a little better.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. But there are quarterback talent. There's quarterback talent around the league. You could have gone. You could have traded for someone. They told us Zach wasn't the guy when they went and got Aaron Rodgers.
Right, correct.
What my point is what information did you think you were going to get other than just straight up hoping that Zach Wilson was going to be better? Did we not know that Zach Wilson was exactly this at the end of last season? Why did we think he'd be better?
But Zach wasn't the starter, though. So y'all keep...
That's what I'm saying, though. Okay, so when Aaron went down...
Got hurt, right, boom.
Right, boom. Okay, so he's down. Like, okay. you did everything right. The roster is great. We feel like we're moving in the right direction. Aaron's there. Everybody's happy. We're excited. The team is loving him. He's getting along. Like, everything is tracking. Right. And then, boom. He's injured.
Boom. Hurt. Okay.
Okay. Do something. You knew Zach was bad. Like, nothing that's happened with Zach Wilson this year is surprising to me at all. And it shouldn't be surprising to them because you didn't. That's why you got Aaron Rodgers in the first place. Taylor Heineke, Josh Dobbs, Cooper Rush, Gardner Minshew. Go trade for somebody. Go trade for someone. Tell me that you're still trying because what you do is...
When?
Immediately. Because what you're saying is... Okay, well, you know what? You're right. Because when this happened, we all asked, should you go and get somebody?
Right.
And Cam Newton's name came up and a bunch of other names came up and we talked about there's other talent around the league you could have traded for. Something. And yes, you would have to give something up. But if you're trying to win this season, then you do that because you already knew what Zach Wilson was. This was hopes and dreams and wishes.
I just think that it's a matter of, okay, we you don't want to get somebody you got to pay so much money to because you know you got Aaron Rodgers coming back next year. That's one. And the second thing is, like, all these names we keep throwing out, like, okay,
they're not good either.
So you said, so Cam Newton, I love Cam, but Cam at this day and age, I don't know, is he trained or not, but that's Cam. You said Heineke. Who else you said? Dobbs.
Minshew.
So if we had them guys, Minshew's pretty good. I like him, right? But if you had all them other guys, Joe Flacco.
Say Joe Flacco.
How many more games do you think that they're going to win more than Zach?
Let's say.
Because they all in the same table.
No, Zach is bad.
Okay, but Carmelo Dulce ain't that good either. They just okay.
It's not like they're high-level starters. But I'm saying if it's a difference between winning two more games, it's a difference between actually having a chance and
My question is, when would you have made the move?
Immediately.
But you can't make it the reason I wouldn't have made it immediately, I can't say you can't. I would have made it immediately is because we all agree. Zach needed to develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach didn't start his whole rookie year because of injuries. He didn't start his whole last year because of injuries. So if we don't think that a player is a second-year player until they've played 16, 17 games, Zach, I think, had only played 25 coming into this season. I would have given Zach the first step.
I'd give him a game or two.
I would give him a little bit of time.
Because you know the system, you know everything, you know the practice, you know everything. We're a new quarterback, you got to learn everything.
You got to learn everything.
So my thing, I would give him a game or two, and then if it looked bad, then maybe try to make a move. But my question is, we keep talking about these moves because it's easy to say, but where?
You know what I mean? I just gave you names, though.
But my thing is, too, though, we saying move quickly and all that. He beat the Bills, whether it was defense
or not. That's the other thing.
1-0.
That's the other thing. They were 4-4.
The Bills are the Bills, right?
They were 4-4.
Then he lost and he won 3 straight. Right. So you can't come off
the dilemma is, when do you make the...
And that's why I feel like this is the right time, because you have put 3 consecutive games of bad play on tape, and we have lost.
Yeah.
They did the exact same thing last year. They did the exact same thing last year.
But it's tough to move on him when you...
They ran off some games and got convinced, and then they started losing, and then they benched him. They did the exact same thing. I don't know. To me, I'm just like, this is not a serious situation then. Like, what am I supposed to feel bad about here? Other than Aaron Rodgers going down, which is a complete, like, okay, that's the worst. Sucks for everyone. Can't control that.
Plays. Oof.
Yeah, it's horrible. But like, what do you want me to say?
It's
here?
Also hard pressed though, because all the names you mentioned, Taylor Heineke has started in place of Desmond Ridder.
He been losing.
But and Desmond
losing.
Ridder started after the
bye. But my point is, losing. The Falcons weren't about to give him up because he's low key their starter.
Gardner
Minshew ain't going nowhere because he low key their starter.
They had a rookie quarterback, so maybe they would have moved on.
I'm saying not when you're saying they should have. Remember, game one, Anthony Richardson got hurt.
Yeah.
And then after that, Anthony Richardson was put down after the third game. Yep. After the fourth game, excuse me. So the Colts weren't moving off of
him. He started against the Ravens.
Minshew been playing.
Now, this is just a series of unfortunate events for the Jets, I guess.
But Zach should, to me, Zach has to get
Zach
better.
Zach should, would, could,
Zach
would,
has
what?
To get better.
We know what he was.
I agree with you, though. After Aaron Rodgers got hurt and they had a couple games, right, and they started going downhill, okay, let's make a move. But my question is, like, who? Because even Dawes, when Dawes was with the Cardinals, he was playing solid, but they were still losing.
They
were still losing.
Okay, so I guess my question is this.
Okay.
What do the Jets want? Because if you're trying to stay afloat for the potential of Aaron Rodgers coming back, to me, you make some sort of move to get someone who you feel at least can win you the difference
That's
of
the
difference
question,
above
though.
Two more games. If there's a difference between 2 games or none with Zach Wilson, like this potential step-in player wins you 2 more games than you have now, right? Which puts you in a completely different position in the AFC. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Well, wins for sure.
Okay, so wins above replacement. Is that worth it to you? Because otherwise, the Jets' season is just lost, and we need to stop stressing out about them.
I just don't know if them names that
it's lost.
I don't know if them names is good enough to win games. That's all I'm saying.
I think a player like that could win you 2 more games with this roster. I think they could.
But I'm saying,
but who knows? I do know is Zach Wilson is doing the exact same thing that Zach Wilson has always done.
Yeah.
There's nothing changed about this player, whether it is his fault or not. I agree. He's not lived up to his potential, whether it's because he's not good enough or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, how are we surprised that this is what it looks like? I don't know what new information we got when Aaron Rodgers went down other than them pitching us that he was the guy.
They won a couple games, and they was like, let's just try to be confident, optimistic about it.
That's why I can't blame Salah, because this was your number 2 pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you couldn't take nobody else.
Aaron got hurt, but you showed confidence in your number 2 pick. You know what I mean? And he was on a 3-game winning streak, and then now it's just bad. It's time to move.
You benched your number 2 pick last year.
Yeah, but for Aaron, though.
No, you didn't bench him last year for Aaron. Right. And then you benched him in the offseason for Aaron.
So that's what I'm saying. It's one dude playing.
Yeah. This is a bad quarterback team.
They desperately do. Well, a team has their quarterback, the Dallas Cowboys. And Dak Prescott led the Cowboys to another blowout win over the Carolina Panthers yesterday. But I will tell you why that win to me was meaningless for the big picture of the Dallas Cowboys when we return. Don't forget, check us out every day on the Fox Sports channel on Sirius XM.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, family, we are in second, in short, second topic of the day, but this is a good one. Dallas Cowboys, another two-game win streak, blowout of the Carolina Panthers, 33-10 in dominant fashion. Micah Parsons, 2.5 sacks his own right. Deron Bland, his fourth pick six of the season. History being made by a couple of those defensive players, bringing us on camera, because though this was a great win, and individually, shout out to Deron Bland, shout out to Micah Parsons for putting up some historical individual performances. I think this Cowboys win was meaningless. I think it was meaningless in the grand scheme of things. You are a meaningful team and you beat a meaningless team, to me, the result is meaningless. Why? Because what did I learn from the Cowboys beating the Panthers? I feel about the Cowboys beating the Panthers how I feel about the Dolphins beating the Raiders. Y'all have higher expectations. So to beat a team that you're not going to see again, it doesn't mean a ton to me. Now, let me stop down and say this. Micah Parsons, first Cowboys player in history to start his season with three consecutive 10-plus sack seasons. Deron Bland, I believe first Cowboys player in history with four pick sixes in one season. Those are meaningful statistics. Mm-hmm. However, I need the Cowboys to do that versus the Eagles. I need the Cowboys to do that versus the Niners. I need the Cowboys to do that versus teams they're going to see again. When I'm looking at these results, I'm like, yeah, they beat up on the Panthers. But when you play against teams that you're going to see when it matters, we don't see that. So the reason I'm saying it's meaningless is not because it doesn't help them in the ratings. It's not because it doesn't help them in the standings. It's not because it doesn't help Deron Bland become an All-Pro and Micah Parsons become an All-Pro. It's meaningless because when I look at this result, it will have no bearings on their future success because this Panthers team is not a team they're going to see, James Jones.
What's the, you know the Cowboys record off top?
7-3.
7-3, okay.
I believe so.
Meaningless is crazy. You know why?
Talk to me.
Was that Cardinals game meaningless? Josh Dobbs got one win, and that's the win, right? So you could be 8-2 right now. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles play who?
Chiefs.
They possibly could be 8-2, right? You could be in this thing. So ain't none of these games meaningless. You got to take the field every single game. And every single Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, Friday, whenever you're going out there, you got to take this field to win. I don't care if it's by 1 point, by 2 points. So ain't none of them meaningless because you got to get all these things to get to where you're trying to go, right? We all say if the Cowboys got to go on the road, it's going to be hard on them. The Cowboys play really good at home. If they could find a way to get these playoffs team to come through Dallas, they could possibly make a run. So ain't none of these games meaningless. I think that's how they walked into this Cardinals game. Oh, it's Josh Dobbs. They ain't got none of these players and all that. And you walk out of there with a loss. And this loss could really mean something at the end of the season. So I don't care if it's the best team in football. I don't care if it's the worst team in football. As the Dallas Cowboys, you got to go out there and you got to get a
Could
job.
It be a lose-lose? That's how I feel about it. I feel about it like it's a lose-lose in the sense that if you beat the Carolina Panthers, cool, you're supposed to. But if you lose to the Panthers, now all of a sudden, wait, what the heck is going on with the Dallas Cowboys? I didn't gain any information, Joy, from this Cowboys win. I can't leave this win and say, yeah, I'm more confident they can beat the Niners now. I'm more confident they can beat the Eagles now.
That's probably
I'm more confident that they can beat the Lions now. I didn't gain any confidence from it.
Well, no. I mean, from that perspective, sure. Like, we don't have to learn something about a team every single week, though. Like, week to week, we don't have to reassess how we feel about a team. But I can't say that it's meaningless for everything that James just said. It certainly would have been meaningless if they lost to them. Yes. It would have changed some information then. Then we would have real questions. What I do like about what the Cowboys are doing is that they're not just beating the opponents that we expect them to beat. They're beating them convincingly. Yeah. They're dominating. They're not playing with their food. Let's go in here. Let's leave no doubt. Let's not play any games and get the win. And that is actually the mark of a good team as well. Do you want to be in a dogfight with a team that you're way better than? You're better than this team. So go and beat them convincingly. And you don't even have to do that in the NFL. So you don't need these style point wins, especially a team like this that has aspirations in the postseason, like you mentioned. So did I learn anything about the Cowboys in this game? No, not necessarily. But that doesn't mean that this game wasn't meaningless. And it certainly, I think, in the building helps their confidence. It's always better to be winning, and it's even better to be winning at a high clip, which is what they're doing in these games.
My question in response to that, though, is, okay, they did this, they did that, they did this. I had to ask myself this morning, but what does it mean? Because I wanted to sit here and say, man, Deron Bland, four pick sixes, boy, if they see the Eagles in trouble. Then I said, wait a second, they saw the Eagles. I want to say, man, Micah Parsons, 2.5 sacks. He got over 10 sacks a season. Boy, Lane Johnson better watch. Wait a second. They saw the man, Trent Williams better watch. They saw them. Yeah. And so the reason I derived to my own knowledge that it was meaningless was because though they dominated this game, and they dominated, like they dominated the Jets, like they dominated the Giants twice, mm-hmm. I just can't gain any confidence from it. I can't gain anything.
But they are, though.
Yeah.
But they are. Like, if you're running, I don't care who you're playing, if you're running off these wins on these teams, do you think you're going to lose against any of these good teams? That's not going to be in the back of your mind because you're like, hey, man, we here. And like Joy said, they're not winning 7-10.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They beating these boys down. So however you win, you walking out of this game with confidence. The Eagles got a lot of one-score games. You think they going into some of these games thinking they're going to win by one score? No, it's confidence, and they going into the next game like, we're going to beat these boys down.
Momentum matters.
So you got to be able to stack these games for victories. I'm not saying it means something, but confidence-wise, when you're getting on the plane with a dub, that means something.
I'm totally, I disagree. Meaningless? That's wild. Like, every game means something in the NFL. It's not the NBA where we get 82 games. We can just slack off some games. It's just the NFL. And I feel like some games you need to win to make them other games bigger. That's something that you taught me. Like, when you tell me about the college, you were saying that we can't play this big game. It's going to be a big game if we lose the small game.
Yeah.
And everything, it accumulates. So now when you look at the playoff pictures, when teams lose to them smaller, weaker teams, that's what affects home field advantage or not having home field advantage. And I think that even like now, like in the NFL, it's you'll see every once in a while a really, really good team lose to a bum team. It's like, how they lose to them? And then now it's a worry thing. For example, when the Niners lost to the Vikings, you were super concerned and worried about the Niners. And it wasn't because they lost the game, because who they lost to.
Correct.
So when you say meaningless, if the Cowboys were lost to the Panthers, you'd have so many concerns. You had a big board over there. You'd go over all the different issues of offensive defense. So my thing is, like, every game in the league counts. Now, I will say this. Bigger games matter more to me, right? Because you can see what type of team you have. Okay, we're going to get the top dog. We're a top dog. Let's see what happens. That's why we kind of doubt the Dolphins, because the wins that they have compared to the loss they have. But if they losing them weaker teams, we have a big, big concern. So I can't go with the meaningless. That sounds wild to me, because every game in the league is super hard to win.
That's a really good take, because if the Cowboys would have beat the Eagles, beat the Niners, and lost to the Panthers, and lost to the Cardinals, like, you'd be confident
I'd feel better. I'd feel better. Because
a team like that, you can't trust.
Yeah.
I can't trust a team that can't be consistent.
But here's my thing. I don't want the Cowboys to be consistently mediocre. Like, right now, I feel about the Cowboys how I feel about the Dolphins, and I love the Dolphins. So this isn't, like, Cowboy slander. When the Dolphins beat the Raiders yesterday, I'm like, hey, cool. Mm. But that doesn't change the fact that when you saw the Chiefs, you didn't win. When you saw the Eagles, you didn't win. When you saw the Bills, you didn't win. Mm. So the three playoff teams that the Dolphins have seen this year, they haven't beat.
But
the Cowboys, the playoff teams the Cowboys have seen this year, they haven't beat. So, yes, the Cowboys have beat the Chargers, and they beat the Giants twice, and they've beat the Jets, and they've beat the Panthers, who they just played. But it doesn't change the fact that I don't think, Joy, you gain confidence against the Niners by beating the Panthers. At least I never did,
but
when I played.
Things, there's an ebb and flow, right, to seasons. There's momentum. There's putting together and stacking wins. All of that stuff also matters. I don't think we're going to learn anything about this Cowboys team until the postseason. I've been saying that all year. If your aspirations in the conversation about you as a team is that you are trying to make it to and win a Super Bowl, then getting through the regular season and getting to the postseason and winning the division and all those things and trying to get home field advantage, all that stuff matters. But that's by winning these games as well. Like, this one counts as much as the Niners game counted. Mm-hmm. We'd feel better about it. Maybe we would feel better about it. But how we feel about the Cowboys doesn't mean anything to how the Cowboys feel about the Cowboys
they would feel
right now. I think they feel great right now.
No,
they won two in a row, and they just beat down on the Panthers, a team that they were supposed to win. Everybody's playing at a high level, and they are stacking together wins. There's no reason that they should feel anything about how and where they are as a team. Plus, where you are at one point in the season could be totally different than where you are at the end of the season.
I just know that, again, y'all played longer than me. So I will submit to that all day. But I know this. I felt better when I beat a good team and when the Eagles beat good teams than I did when we beat the Washington Commanders or when we beat the New York Giants.
But all those guys on the other side are professionals, too.
Correct,
and they get paid to be there as well.
There's levels.
But at the end of the day, you're walking on that field and you could lose to that team as well as you could beat that team.
Can I say this? I started 14-0.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kansas City Chiefs had two wins, and we lost. And when I got on that plane, I wasn't feeling good about nothing. You know, like, we didn't even care about them 14 wins that we had. We wasn't feeling good about nothing. All we thinking about is that game right there that we lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they had two W's. Mm. Right? You ain't feeling good about that. If you go out there and you beat that team, even though they the Chiefs, and you 15-0, you know how good you feeling? Right? So every time you take the field, if you get a W, you getting on the plane feeling good.
No doubt. I'm not saying the Cowboys, let's not conflate two conversations. I did not say the Cowboys should not feel good about their win. I did not say that the Cowboys should not celebrate their win.
Should they be confident?
Sure. But I don't think beating the Panthers gives you confidence against the Niners or the Eagles. I was thinking about it this morning. I do not know if there's a Carolina Panthers player that would start on the Cowboys, Brian Burns included, because Micah Parsons plays for the Cowboys. There's not a Panthers skill position player that'll start for the Cowboys. Not a Panthers O lineman that'll start for the Cowboys. Panthers quarterback wouldn't start for the Cowboys. None of the Panthers secondary players, maybe JC, healthy, would start for the Cowboys. So, yes, they're all NFL players. But I don't know that beating the Panthers means anything in the grand scheme.
Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything for the postseason unless you lose that game and it costs you getting to the postseason or costs you home field advantage. So you have to go and win the games you're supposed to win. I hear you on what we learned about the Cowboys. We already know that the Cowboys beat down on seemingly lesser opponents. They've done that all season outside of the Arizona game. So yeah, I hear you on all that. But to say that it's meaningless in the scope of things other than just how we feel about what they can do against good teams or bad teams, that just doesn't matter when it comes to what the Cowboys are actually able to accomplish. They have to go and beat those teams in the postseason. And getting to the postseason, part of that is winning these games.
I just don't think it should mean something if you lose and not mean something if you win. Mm.
Let me ask you, James, you went 15-1 one season, didn't win the Super Bowl. You went 10-6 and you won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The 15-1 year. What meant more to you? Or did every game mean the same? In the sense of, like, when you faced, I think you faced the 7-0 Broncos.
Mm-hmm. They slapped us.
Had you won that game, would that have meant more than had you won a game versus, you know, a 1-14, 1-13, 1-10 game? That's the conversation and the thought process I'm having.
Well, it was different conversations because that Broncos team, we felt like if we were going to get to the Super Bowl, we were going to see them. Because that's how good they were with DeMarcus Ware, with Von Miller, Tlaib, Chris Harris. I mean, they had the defense was stacked, TJ Ward, all them boys. So we were like, okay, this game is kind of one of those measuring sticks that this is a team that we probably going to see in the Super Bowl if we can make it to the Super Bowl. So that game right there, when they beat us up, we all got on the plane like, ooh, we. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not as good as we thought we were. You know what I mean? Because we lost. You know, if we would have won that game, we would have got on that bus like, okay, we like that. We're going to see these boys again. So that was the mindset for us because they beat us down. I mean, it wasn't even close. You know what I mean? Like, them boys had their Chuck Taylors on the sideline at third quarter. You know what I mean? So they beat us down. So it wasn't even close. So mindset-wise and mentally, when we got on the plane, we were like, man, we got to get better. We thinking about adding people and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So for the Cowboys, that ain't the case. They got everything they need. You know what I mean? So, you know, it was different.
It's an interesting season, but nothing more interesting than the chaos going on in Los Angeles. It looks like it's time for the Chargers to blow it up, sitting at the 13th seed in the AFC. But Justin Herbert, they're not getting it done. Brandon Staley, not getting it done. What in the world is wrong with the Chargers, and do they need a complete organizational restructure? Next on Speed.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All right, family, we are in third and long, but the Chargers, they were in the fourth quarter when it all collapsed. The Packers, they rallied for the win. Justin Herbert's squad is now 4-6 after the game. Close friend, head coach Brandon Staley, was asked about the team's struggling defense, and I've got to hear what he had to say.
Like I told you from the beginning, I have full confidence in our way of playing. Full confidence in myself as the play caller and the way that we teach and the way that we scheme. Full confidence in that. We got to bring this group together and do it consistently. Okay, and that's where it's at. So you can stop asking that question. Okay, I'm going to be calling the defenses. Okay, so we're clear. So you don't have to ask that again.
Yeah.
Woo! Justin Herbert, Chargers, Brandon Staley, it is not looking good, not looking good.
You don't have to ask.
Do not have to ask.
Joy, do the Chargers need to blow it up?
We do have to ask that. By blow it up, we mean, obviously.
Wah, boom.
The front office, the coach. Man, I really don't like to talk about firing people, but I don't know what choice they have based off the talent that they have on this roster. So in general, I think that they were building something. They were building into momentum coming into the season. But if you look at this roster, you'd have to put them in the top 10 range for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Talent wise.
I'm saying you have
Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Zion Johnson's the first round pick, Corey Linsley, Rashawn Slater, Derwin James. Obviously, Joey Bosa is dealing with something right now, but Joey Bosa is there. Khalil Mack. That's a pretty talented roster. You'd put them in the top 10, 12 range. At the very least, at the top half of the league. And that is not where they are right now. It's hard for me to justify having that much talent on a roster and for them to consistently look the way that they have this season. It's a frustrating, disappointing season. And when you're losing and people are asking questions like that and you're seeing that frustration and we're hearing the things that we've heard around the team this year, it really feels like there is a permeating feeling of, I don't want to go as far as toxicity, but there's a deep frustration for the lack of success that they've had based off of the expectations and talent that they have within the building. You can feel it coming from the roster. You can hear it coming from the coach. You can hear it coming from the beat reporters having to ask these questions that, by the way, the reporters don't want to ask these questions either. So everyone is like, it's a very deep, potent, palatable tension around this team. And I don't know how you correct that. And when you lose a game like that, and you consistently lose games where Justin Herbert has the ball in his hand at the end of the game, and you're in close one score games and you keep losing them, they're 2-5 this year in one score games. You have the talent to get it done. So yeah, I don't know what else you do.
Waboom. Blow that thing up. It is going to get blown up. They're not going to the playoffs. That speech right there is a coach knowing that my job is gone. How many weeks is left? Five, six weeks in the regular season? My job is gone at the end of this season. I'm getting up here. I'm trying to protect the play calling. I'm trying to let y'all know that we working extremely hard to get this thing going and get these players in the right situation and all that. And at the end of the day, the players are just not making the plays. On offense when they need to make it, on defense when they got to make it, they're not making the plays. And that falls back on the coach. You talk about one-score games. I don't care who the ball hand, if the ball in Justin Herbert's hands, if the ball in the defense got to stop somebody, they're not making the plays. That is on the coach. They did not make those plays last year. That's why they gave up a 20-plus point lead in the playoffs to lose that game. This will get blown up at the end of the season, and it's probably going to be new coach. It's probably going to be new GM. We all know when that happens, new players is coming in. Old players might be gone, traded, whatever it may be. This thing is going to get blown up. The only person that's staying put is the guy in the picture behind you. That's the only person that's guaranteed because he's making that bread.
Yeah, I mean, you got to blow it up. If you can't win with this roster you have, and I guess you were being nice saying 10, these dudes are like top 5 talent-wise. Right? Yeah. If you can't win with this roster, you got to blow it up. I'm talking about blow it like a big joint, like mad grenades. Like, because not only the player, but the coaches, the GMs, everything.
Yeah.
And maybe, like, they sit there and think, like, yo, dang, did we do too much of getting superstars instead of getting better players for roles, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like the Chiefs, or even they lost Tyreek Hill, we thought they were crazy for that. But they had other wide receivers for different roles that got them to the championships, right? You talk about Jadarius Toney come over there, get playing roles, things like that. And now that I get this team, you talk about one possession games or 2-5 for one possession games. That's crazy to me. Like, you get superstar players to ice the game out.
Yeah.
Yo, look, up and down the whole game, first to the fourth quarter, now in the fourth quarter, listen, we need to stop on defense.
Yep.
All these pass rushers, all these guys that go fly around the ball, Derwin James, all these guys, they get turnovers, get stops on offense. Okay, up and down, first to fourth quarter. Now we got a chance to score. We got the ball in Herbert's hands. That's what we want. He's a highest paid guy. Wide receivers and all that, everything you need. Running backs, everything they need. And you can win. So, yeah, you're talking about blow it up. It should have been blowing up.
The question is, what do you gain?
Boom. Boom. blow that thing up, man. Stop playing.
What do you gain if you blow it up, though? That's my fear. Like, if you blow it up, Justin Herbert will be on his third coach in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So now Justin Herbert has that whole excuse of, well, he's on another coach for his fifth year. How do you expect him to get better? Okay, you hire an offensive coach. That's what I would think. Then what do you do with Kellen Moore? Because what's the point in hiring an offensive coach if you don't run the offensive coach's offense? So now you hire an offensive coach, but now you're going to get rid of Kellen Moore. You're going to promote Kellen Moore to head coach. Kellen Moore and I believe, are the same draft class. So 34-year-old Kellen Moore is going to become your head coach. Or you're going to hire a defensive coach. Mm-hmm. But the defensive coach put you in this bind in the first place. I do agree you got to blow it up. I just don't think the Chargers are going to get any better once you do blow it up. I think you still going to be in chaos.
I don't know, Acho. Because it sounds cool. So you really, let's look at the other young coaches on offense. Sean McVay. He a youngster. Right? What's my other man's name from the Packers? When they was rolling.
LaFleur.
He was young. They was rolling. I mean, you can
Cincinnati.
Get some. Another one. He was young. You can ask some young coaches that get busy. We've seen it. They've won. I don't think the. Because my thing is, if you don't blow it up, then what? It's going to be the same narrative.
And it's
blowing great players that don't get no results.
Is moving off of Brandon Staley for Kellen Moore actually blowing it up?
No. No, it's chaos. A little chaotic.
But they're already in chaos. So, because I don't consider that to be completely blowing it up. If you move to Kellen Moore as the head coach, and maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, I don't know. But if you do that, I don't really consider that blowing up. That's less of an adjustment, because at least then Justin Herbert's not having to learn a new offense.
And he's a good coordinator.
Yes.
I like
now, we don't know, if, we don't know if he's a good coach, good head coach, but we know he's a good coordinator. But that to me is like the adjustment that you make to sort of soften what you're talking about. Because I do agree, it is very difficult for young players to have to go through coach after coach after coach.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not always the coach's fault. And maybe in this situation, it's just not coming together. Who knows what's going on internally? But it's not working this year. And you blew it last year. And there were already questions. Yeah, there were already questions about him to begin with. But if you make the adjustments to Kellen Moore, I think that's less of a harsh turn for Justin Herbert, who's already been in his offense.
That's a good point.
And then you can make adjustments elsewhere around the team. Because let's be honest, it's not like this entire stretch of Justin Herbert's career has been a disaster. His rookie year was a raging success. He set all kinds of rookie records. For the expectations that you should have of a team that has a rookie quarterback, that was a win. Can we just count that year as a win? Yeah? No?
As a rookie.
Yeah. As a rookie. It was a successful rookie.
But he's a rookie. He was a rookie.
I don't see... His issue is not stats. He's great at that.
Okay, but I'm saying I agree with that. But considering how and what we expect of rookies, his rookie season was a success.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on from the rookie season. All right, we got one dub. Mm-hmm. The next season... He got a little bit better. They got a little bit better. Not to the jump that we want them to, and certainly not to the jump that other guys in his draft class
with
made.
With less talent. Less talent. Winning.
Yeah. Now, last year, they made it to the playoffs. Now, they blew it in the playoffs, but they made it to the playoffs. So, relatively speaking, each year, they've been tick-tick getting better. This year, though, has just been a disaster. They had massive expectations. You made the adjustment to Kellen Moore. They can't finish games. They can't win close-score games. They have the ball in his hand at the end of games. He can't get it done. This year has been a disaster.
So whose fault is that?
Okay, I'm not trying to pass the buck. I'm not trying to pass the buck. I'm just saying, if we zoom out just a little bit, right. Take a deep breath, it's not overall been a complete collapse. Disaster. His whole career hasn't been a disaster. Rookie season was a dud.
I'm saying, but like, okay, I hear I get it. Individually, yes. I think he's done some good
things.
But
as a team as well.
But as a team, like what? They went to playoffs and gave a crazy lead up.
I agree. But
why would we keep them that same band together when they not making no hits?
I agree.
They might do a couple hits. They're not making no albums. They're not selling no albums.
They're not selling no albums.
Some hits.
I agree. They're not trying to get TikTok at all.
If I told you all the all-pros they got on this team, that should be winning.
Yeah, we just read it.
Because there's less teams with less talent that's doing more than the Chargers.
Yeah, because that's the producer.
It's crazy.
These boys still know how to sing.
They got a really, really bad
seriously,
manager.
Though. Like,
I agree. Shady, I agree with you. I'm just saying,
time.
If you want to try and find a solve that doesn't completely disrupt everything that you have built within Justin Herbert, perhaps putting Kellen Moore into the head coaching spot is the way to make the most sense.
A lot of people was trying to get Kellen Moore for head coach.
Right.
It's not like they didn't want him at all.
Yeah, but I just...
He was high on the list.
Number one, when you say blow something up, right? I know you're not getting rid of every last one of the players and all. We're not saying blowing up like that. Like, some of these dudes is going to stay put, right? That you got to have some players on your football team to win games. But the coach is out of there, right? When you look at coaches and we talk about how talented this roster is, and then you see other coaches winning with less talent, whether it's the Minnesota Vikings, whether it's the Houston Texans, whoever it may be, winning with less talent, like, come on, that to me, that falls on the coach. I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's the position you're putting the players in, and obviously you can't catch it and throw it to players. I'm not saying the players is making every play.
Right.
But at the same time, when you're not winning football games, that falls on the coach.
And your quarterback.
Point blank, period.
And your quarterback got so much money invested in him. See, this is another thing that we're not even talking about. Now that Herbert got this money, you ain't going to be able to pay everybody now. So now what you going to do then?
And you can't maximize the talent that you have.
Come on.
It's blown up.
Put minds, all types of stuff up in that thing, man.
I think they're in a dilemma as long as Herbert's there. I think they're in a dilemma.
Why? What do you mean by that?
So this is Herbert's fault?
Wait, say that again?
I think they're in a dilemma as long as Herbert's there.
So you're saying they should get rid of Herbert?
No.
So he there.
I'm saying everybody's culpable. Why? Because I think the Chargers have let Justin Herbert down the last two games. Against the Packers last game, their defense, please get a stop. Please, for the love of God, get a stop. Against the Lions the game before, please get a stop. Get a stop. It's two losses, man. Come on, Chargers. I need y'all's help.
I'm about to say, come on now. Okay.
But game one against the Miami Dolphins, Herbert, I need you to go match what Tua did.
I need that.
Yeah.
Game two against the Tennessee Titans, Herbert, we received the ball in overtime. By the grace of God, won the toss. You can't go three and out. Game five against the Dallas Cowboys. Herbert, Dak just went down the field, second to last possession, got a field goal. You can't end the game with a sack and then an interception.
Right.
Even last night's game, I would prefer Justin Herbert for $262.5 million. Ooh. It doesn't end with the PBU.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying the Chargers have not let Justin Herbert down. They absolutely have let Justin Herbert down. But when the Chargers hold Herbert up, Herbert lets them down. Mm. When Herbert holds the Chargers up, the Chargers let him down. So I'm just not going to sit here and act as though it is all of the Chargers' fault. Because, Herbert, if we're paying you $262.5 million, if I were to say seven games were going to be decided by one possession or less, you can't go 2-5.
I agree.
You can't, under any circumstance, go 2-5.
I agree with you. I agree with you. He's been disappointing this year. And all those games that you mentioned, like, you get that much money, you got the ball in your hands at the end of the game with an opportunity to win it, you got to go win. That's what you get paid to do.
Right.
But we do feel, well, okay, I feel, I don't know, I'm going to stop speaking for everybody. I'll speak for myself. I feel Justin Herbert has greatness potential.
Yes.
Like, there's some
for
players
sure.
who are
sure.
okay, you think you can make good, that you can make great. He's, like, right there, and he could be out of here. Now, maybe some of it is on him.
Why do you think that?
Because I've seen him in moments be great.
What other moments have you seen?
Okay, they didn't accidentally pay him that much money.
No, like, a lot of people get paid, and Carson Wentz did too.
A lot of people get paid. A lot of people get $250 million, or the top quarterbacks in the league get $250 million.
Well, it's ascending right now, so $250 million.
All right, I'm gonna just say what I feel. I feel like Justin Herbert is a player that could be potentially great in this league. He is a very young player. He is a still developing player. The clock is not over for Justin Herbert.
No, it's not.
There's so much more that he can write in the history books for his career in the NFL. Perhaps it's on him a little bit. Perhaps he needs to learn how to win and finish games. I think he has the potential to do that. I know what he can physically do on the field. I know that he can go and close out a game if he needs to. We have seen him do great things in this league. That's why they paid him. That's why they drafted him where he did. That's why he won Offensive Rookie of the Year. We know he can put up statistics, and if he can find a way to make those statistics match wins, which I believe he has the potential to do, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I think he has that potential. Then you have to find a way to bring that out of him. Whether that is bringing in a new coach, whether that is promoting Kellen Moore and moving off of Brandon Staley for an offensive-leaning head coach, maybe that's what it is. But I'm not writing off Justin Herbert because of one season and one playoff game that didn't go exactly how we wanted. I feel like that's a little too reactionary for a player that is his age.
No, I'm not writing him off. But I've seen him play 59 regular season games. Andy, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the Chargers are 29-30.
But you said they're in a dilemma as long as they have Justin Herbert.
Correct, because they're not going to – I don't think they're going to win the big one. Because we're going to do – I think more people than not will do what you do and say, well, he has the potential for greatness, which I agree. But all potential is unreached ability. So I think he has the potential, but potential literally by definition is – unreached.
So how can you say that they're going to have a problem as long as he's there and simultaneously say he has the potential for greatness?
You think he has a potential for greatness.
So you don't think he has a potential for greatness.
Nah, he'll never reach it. So I don't care if he does or he
he's
doesn't.
In his, he's in his fourth year. Correct. He's never going to reach it?
What did Jalen Hurts do by his fourth year? What Joe Burrow do by his fourth year? What have other great quarterbacks done by their fourth year? I just think they can get there.
But that's the thing, too, though, man, because it's a lot of games to where the Eagles' defense won the game and closed it out. It's a lot of games to where Jalen Hurts went down the field and closed it out. You just made 2 points of none of them doing their job. So if we're sitting here and the defense goes out there for the last 2 years and closes out and he has seven, eight more wins, this might be different for Justin Herbert.
But here's
Justin Herbert is Super Bowl talent if he has the defense and people around him making stops. At least from what I've seen with my two eyes.
No, he got a lot of great talent. I agree with that. And he does have, I think, potential to be great. So I agree with all that. I just think that sometimes he needs to close games out and show us that greatness. And other times, we talk about the defense. Sometimes, y'all need to step up and play and make some plays. Y'all do got a lot of greatness over there, too. So it's a mixture of everything, right? I don't know if you can say that you don't think he's ever going
to. My thought is this. All I'll say is this. I have never seen in the last – let me say never. In the last year and a half, only once will I say Jalen Hurts let his team down. When the Eagles defense didn't do what they were supposed to do, only once will I say Jalen Hurts let the Eagles down. Like, dang, Jalen, they did their job and you didn't do yours against the Jets.
Okay.
Outside of that, I can't say I've seen the same for that. But Justin Herbert, this season alone, I could say three times.
Yeah.
In the first five games of the season, I could say three times. So the reason I'm saying is, at the point in which we've watched you play 60 games, I'm just thinking, if you were that great, I would have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with Mahomes. We saw it with Burrow. We saw it with Hurts. Allen, within his first 4 years, went to an AFC championship game. And all of these people outside of Mahomes, and maybe you might want to say Hurts, Burrow went to a terrible situation. Allen went to a destitute situation. So I'm just thinking, if I were going to see it, I would have seen it. Does he have potential?
Seen it already, yeah. And all those guys, I think we hold to a higher prestige at this point based off the information we have than we do Justin Herbert. Like, we would all say they're better at winning. Like, they're better at leading their teams to wins. They know how to close out games. They can elevate other people. Like, all of those check have been answered about all those guys. So maybe we don't put Herbert in that category. But when I say with your own eyeballs and you watch him play the game of football, he has the potential to do all of those things. Maybe some of it is on him. Maybe he needs to learn how to close out games. Maybe it's some of the defense letting him down. Maybe it's coaching. But if I'm going to just write a player off, it's because I haven't seen you ever do anything that makes me believe that you can lead a team to that.
And my last thing with him is, like, because I do agree with a lot of what you're saying right there, but the only pushback I got is that when I look at, and they're going to hate me for saying this, but when I look at his draft class, the quarterbacks, he comes out as the most talented overall. Arm strength.
Physically, yeah.
Physically, arm strength. He can run. His ball placement. All them things you need. He has all that. And he's the least... He's done the least out of all the quarterbacks.
And he went to the best situation of the other two.
And he does have a lot more talent than all them dudes. Well, maybe not now with Jalen, but coming in the situation. I just got to see more from Herbert. And I think that it's not the end of the day because it's only his fourth year.
It's just weird to me.
We
got to
see more.
It's weird to me saying that in his fourth year.
Yeah.
That's my only thing. Like, by your third year, you were all pro?
Yeah.
It's just weird to me hearing that. Like, I got to see more. Bro, it's been 4 years.
Three and a half.
But it's weird to me.
This thing with Justin Herbert, you know, leads me back to Shady. Because Shady will take Josh Allen over a lot of these quarterbacks, which I know you would too, and he turned the football over a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with Justin Herbert. I would take Justin Herbert over a lot of dudes in this league. And I'm talking about Justin Herbert is a top five quarterback in this league that anybody will take right now over a lot of these quarterbacks. And just because, like I say, the wins don't add up, don't mean it's all on him.
I changed my opinion about that. Before, I would say the same thing. Man, Justin Herbert, you see, he did his first 3 years. Blah, blah, blah. That's cool. But I need to see some wins. Because quarterbacks, one thing about quarterbacks, that as skill positions, like, I can say I'm better than you, you better than me because of how we make play. But when you start looking at the quarterbacks, I need to see them stats.
I need to see them dubs.
I got to see some wins, too, though, James.
There's a lot of quarterbacks out there that's winning right now that you ain't taking over Herbert.
You see, I wouldn't say that.
Hey, when we return, we got to talk about the two biggest winners of the quarterbacks right now. Eagles, Chiefs, Eagles.
Come on, man.
It's the Shady Bowl. Shady's going to build his ultimate quarterback when we return. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Who is he taking this game and why? That's next on Speak.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel.
Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The NFL season tonight, we've coined it the Shady Bowl. Shady, all-time leading rusher for the Eagles, Super Bowl champ for the Chiefs, but right now we're focused on the quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes. It's really the most important discussion of the day because it will dictate the most important game, Shady, of the year. I need you to build your ultimate quarterback. I'm talking arm, legs, heart, mind. I need you to build it all. So right now...
Swag or no?
No swag. Okay, we're not doing swag right now. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, who has the better processor in your mind? Who do you think is the more cerebral quarterback?
Yeah.
Start right now when you're talking about what exists between the ears.
That's a really good question. I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. He's an older quarterback. He's more of a veteran. He's seen a lot of different defenses. And he also, the best thing about him is he has Andy Reid.
True.
He done seen it all. And I haven't been around a player, or not a player, but a coach that's had a mind like Andy Reid's. So if you think about all the play calling, the way he designs some different plays up, Patrick Mahomes is a great and smart quarterback, but having Andy Reid helps out tremendously.
Okay, mind is nothing, though, if you ain't got heart.
That is true.
Both of these QBs, they got a lot of heart.
It's true.
But this game might come down to which quarterback is going to just will their team to victory. Not about legs, not about all arm, but heart. Who do you think has the bigger heart in the game tonight?
Patty got a lot of heart. You don't know. Patty got a lot of heart.
He do.
They let the hair fool him. That boy tough. But I'm going with Jalen Hurts, baby. Jalen Hurts, I'll tell you what. Just talking to him and knowing him, he's such a leader. But, man, he got that dog in
true.
Him.
True.
I'm going to win with one leg. How the hurt's throwing it. I'm going to run through you. You said third and short for me. Coach, I got it.
Hey.
He going to get it.
Hey, you know why
he got that dog in him? He got that dog in him.
Because he dog team.
Here we go.
I can't do that. But you know.
Don't get me jumped on the stage.
Yeah. Don't get him. Don't get me jumped
on the stage. Okay, 2-5. Break this down for me, though. Both have really big arms. Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown this year has been one of the best connections in all of football. But Patrick Mahomes, you already know what time it is.
Yeah.
Who got the better arm of the two?
I think that's the easy one. And I love Jalen Hurts, but Patrick Mahomes. Patty! Where he's back there somewhere, he'll let that thing rip. He'll let it rip in the pocket, or if he's scrambling, or if he's getting tackled.
We've
seen that arm he got.
That is true.
That's true.
Jalen Hurts has been banged up this year, so this question actually might be a little more tricky than it appears on the surface. Who do you trust this game as a scrambler? Who's going to be the better runner tonight?
Patty ain't never been caught.
I'm going up. Yo, low-key Patty can run.
That's what I'm saying.
He got that little run, you know what I mean? But I got to go with Jalen Hurts. I've seen him run so many different ways, run past you. He might shake you up or might run through you. And we see it. If you look at their runs and the runs that he has, he runs through defenders or around defenders. That's what he does.
Can we confirm that these are Jalen Hurts' and Eagles pants? Because I can't.
Pause. These some big thighs, though, bro. That might. You know he squat a lot.
He do be squatting 600 pounds. All right, well, that is the ultimate quarterback. Answer me this, though. It factor. Like, who just has it? Who just has that ability to will their team to victory?
For this game?
This game. Because to me, this is the most important factor of any quarterback.
Yeah.
Who has the it factor?
You know what? I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes again, just because I've seen him win with less. I've seen the game on the line, Super Bowl, guys are covered. I'm going to run for it, right?
Yeah.
Sore ankle and all that. I'm going to get the thing done. I'm going to get the job done. I'm going to win this game. I think the if factor got to be Patrick Mahomes. He wins with anybody at wide receiver, anybody, every lineman. He gets it done.
This is the biggest game of the season. But when we return, we will talk about the biggest story nobody's talking about. Denver Broncos, 4-game win streak, including beating the Bills, including beating the Chiefs, including beating the Vikings. We got to talk about next.
Whoa, yeah.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
In overtime, family, the Broncos, they really should be the most talked about team in sports right now because they were on a 3-game losing streak to start the season, but since then have rattled off 4 consecutive wins, including wins over the Chiefs, the Bills,
and the Minnesota Vikings last night. Russell Wilson, he is back in action. So I'm thinking to myself, the Broncos have officially turned the corner. I said it last week, Shady. I said that Russell Wilson is back. Russell Wilson is a man of moments. His career has been defined by moments, both the good and the bad. The pick six was a bad moment, cost his team a Super Bowl. Not a pick six, a pick into the end zone, cost his team six, hence the reference. But he's a man of moments. We saw the moment yesterday. Cortland Sutton, back of the end zone, got to have it, game winner. You saw him finding P. Ryan, going down the field, four catches, 40 yards to get them in the end zone, towards the end zone. You saw the week before, again, use the running back to get down the field, miraculous throw to Sutton to help win the game. He's a man of moments, and we are seeing those moments once again. I think the Broncos have turned a corner, won four straight games, including beating the Vikings that had won five in a row, beating the Bills, beating the Chiefs. Where do you stand on the Broncos? They turned the corner?
I think so. I think they really did. Watching Russ, he looks more comfortable, right? It looks like the old Russ. He looks more elusive now in the pocket, right? And then he's actually taking what the defense gives him. There's a lot of times where he's thinking to throw it deep. Okay, hold up. Check it down. Running backs will make some guys miss. That's keeping the drives alive. So I do like what Russ has shown us. But the big picture for this team has really, really changed.
Defense.
It's the defense. Them boys, look, now they did get 70 points on their head. I cannot forget about that. That's going to be in history. Yeah. But in this little run they have, these the winning streak, they've ranked number one in defense. They're stopping the run, and they're getting turnovers. That's the real, that's who's really turning the corner. And I think Russ is following that pattern of what the defense is doing, because he's not turning the ball over like he was before. But all together, man, they're making special plays. The defense is playing really, really good football, turning the ball over. The offense, they're not turning the ball over. And Russ is having some great moments, keeping the ball alive, extending the play, running around, making a guy miss, throw it deep. Corliss Sullivan making catches, boom. Jerry Judy's another one, catching the ball, making guys miss. So they do look good. And I don't want to hate on them and talk about anything else, right? Because they do got to see some other good teams later on the field, But right now, they playing well.
They beat three good teams on this stretch. Well. Oh, I love this. Man. I love that win last night. Man. Turns out Sean Payton isn't washed.
Dang, we said that.
We said that. He's not, though.
I said, well, I won't say we. I said it. I ain't going to speak for everybody
he's
else.
He's back.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Look, you said it. The Broncos are allowing 17 points per game since week seven. That's tied for best in the NFL. Yeah. They have 13 takeaways since week seven. Best in the NFL. They're holding opponents to a 72.8 passer rating since week seven. Mm. That's fourth best in the NFL. So the defense is back. Why were we saying that the Broncos were just a quarterback away for all those years?
Defense.
Because of the defense. The defense was setting the tone. And now Russ is getting back to what he used to do, which is moments. That spin around thing. Okay, where's he going? Oh, he's almost down. Back in the end zone. Touchdown. We won the game. That's what Russ does. He creates moments. He can be elusive. He makes the right decisions. He's all in this stretch. They're 4-0, seven touchdowns, zero interceptions. Russ is getting back to playing how he played before. Sean Payton and him are now on the same page. They both feel more comfortable. Everyone's a little happier. Of course, you're winning, so that makes everything better. Yep. But the team itself is coming together. The defense is playing at a high level, and he is taking what the defense gives him and making good decisions, and that is why they're winning.
Man, this is so crazy, man, because, I mean, we had so many topics about the Broncos, man. Do you believe in Sean Payton? Russell Wilson washed up, right? I mean, I sat in the camera, said, give me my close-up, and said like this, zero. I'm trusting Russ 0%. Russ said, JJ, shut up, watch this. Because, I mean, we stood up here. You wanted to come out of retirement because they was giving up 200 yards per game in rushing.
I mean, listen, in our defense, you did get 70 hung on.
Man.
In our defense, we didn't watch that.
But watching this team now, I mean, to be honest with you, I knew Russ was going to score. That's the confidence I had, when he got the ball, which is crazy, from 4 weeks ago. I'm like, Russ finna go down here and score, on the Minnesota Vikings. You watch him last week. I mean, it was back-to-back drives to where he said, don't trip. I got you. Up and down the field points, whether it was Russell magic, crazy throws, whatever it may be. But Russ is back to doing what he was doing in Seattle, and that's finding ways to win. I don't really care statistically how he is. He's finding ways to win, whether the ball in his hand or not. And then defensively, Joy brought up the numbers. Defensively, they playing lights out, and they taking the football away.
Right, yes.
And that's signs of a really good football team, and they beaten really good football teams. They ain't beat the Carolina Panthers and teams like that. They beaten really good football teams. Arguably arguably the best football team in the AFC, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. So this Denver Broncos team is starting to be problems for everybody in the National Football League.
Well, we will get back to the best team maybe in football, the Chiefs playing the best team maybe in the Eagles. Tonight is the biggest game of the season, and we got to talk more about it. Who would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts? Let's bring that conversation to the desk next on Speak, the biggest game of the year. You got to hear the dialogue next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Family, we're on a hurry-up offense, and there's a huge game tonight. No bigger game in all of the NFL this season than the Super Bowl rematch. Eagles, Chiefs, Mahomes, Hurts. Cannot wait for this one. All eyes will be on both quarterbacks, so let's talk about the two quarterbacks. Woo! James Jones, let me get your answer. I heard some from Shady. Where do you stand? What quarterback would you rather have tonight, Mahomes or Jalen Hurts?
Well, I mean, it ain't no wrong answer, right? But I'm going with Patty. I'm going with Patty. Last time they played, Patty made one more play than him. But just the body of work of Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we talked about it. He always finds a way to will his team to victory, whether it's Super Bowl, playoffs, whatever it may be, he finds a way. And Jalen is one of those dudes that this is his opportunity to prove, here I am. You know what I'm saying? Like, I showed you a little bit in the Super Bowl how great I could be, but I'm coming to get you, Patrick Mahomes. But I'm riding out with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's really not a lot to say. I mean, everything Patrick Mahomes has done in this football league speaks for itself. I'm rocking with Patrick Mahomes in this one right here to make that one final play, because I do think it's going to be a one-possession game.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope this is a very close game, a great matchup, and we get to enjoy another big-time matchup like that, and it's not a blowout. We're talking about just quarterbacks,
tonight.
Right? Like,
tonight.
That's it. Just quarterback only. Not, like, the defense, not the running game. Like, just the quarterback.
Just QBs.
Just the QB. Okay, just for the quarterbacks, I'm going to go with the best quarterback in the league.
Absolutely.
And Patrick Mahomes. Just for the quarterbacks. Yeah. That's it. That's because I'm picking the Eagles to win, but you're asking me to pick between the quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, yes.
So I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes. And, of course, it is like this. I mean, they were both All-Pro last year. They were both in the Super Bowl last year. I love Jalen Hurts. I think he's incredible. But it's Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in the league, so I'm going to have to go with that. And this game is probably going to end up deciding
MVP.
Who the MVP is. So this is a more than just, you know, seeding and winning and Super Bowl rematch. Like, this game is going to have big implications however it goes.
My turn?
Your turn.
Your turn.
In the Shady Bowl.
I play for both.
You did?
I'm both.
Got your green on, though.
Yeah, so the question was, what quarterback are you taking tonight?
Tonight.
Today, tonight.
Look at you.
Jalen Hurts. I'm going to tell you why.
Please.
Now, I've seen games, right, where the Chiefs are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of Patty Mahomes, because guys are dropping the balls, right? Mm-hmm. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. When I get the Eagles, throw a 50-50 ball to A.J. Brown. It's not, it's not a 50-50 ball no more.
80-20.
It's a 70-30 ball.
80-20.
Pat wish he had that, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I look at Devontae Smith, 50-50 ball. Now it's more like a 60-40 ball. Mm-hmm. And we can win by so many different ways. I think that the only way the Chiefs can really win if the defense plays well, which they've been doing, mm-hmm. right? And Patrick Mahomes has to be perfect because his supporting cast, other than Travis Kelce, is not consistent. On the green team, we've been super, super consistent. And I think Jalen Hurts, he can win this game by throwing for 300 yards, mm-hmm. or he can win this game by running for 120 yards. And I think that when you have a good player like he is with the supporting cast, it makes it a lot easier for the quarterback. So if you ask me about today, who you taking, not overall
tonight.
And all that. Just tonight,
tonight,
I got to go with Jalen Hurts because the supporting cast is better and they can win by different ways. And if Jalen Hurts is not perfect tonight.
They can win another way.
They still can win in other ways.
You got the Eagles?
I am picking the Eagles, yes.
Eagles?
Hello, hello, hello.
You know I don't want to see that bird in here tomorrow.
That is right.
No. Who are you taking?
Yeah.
Right now, the Eagles.
Okay.
I got the Eagles right now.
Right now.
We got 2 hours, Jack.
So who's your quarterback, though? Who are you taking?
Oh, Hurts. Yeah, who I want tonight? Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts this season has been better than he's been. His highs are higher than Mahomes. And this is one of those games I think both quarterbacks will play their best. This isn't going to be a three-interception game from Hurts. This isn't going to be how Patrick Mahomes looked versus the Broncos. I think this is going to be a very high-level football game. And this year, Jalen Hurts' highs are just higher than Patrick
Mahomes. Wait, so we all picking the Eagles?
No, no, no. I got Chiefs.
Now,
one thing I will put respect on Patrick Mahomes' name, I'm going to do it right here on TV against my Eagles. When he plays other top quarterbacks or top teams, he takes it personal.
100%.
I remember when we was watching something on Aaron Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like quarterback one, quarterback, and it was all that. Training room. This is a story he might laugh about. I shouldn't even say it, but I am. And he said, he looked around like, I'm quarterback one.
There it is.
And I was neutered. I'm like, oh, wow. Him saying that let me know that, yo, he's a competitor. 100%. So tonight against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, the number one team in the football, you're going to get the best version of Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
No matter who the wide receiver is.
And it's at home.
Yep.
And listen,
yep.
Andy Reid off a bye.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that's another one. I forgot, because Big Red, I call him Big Dog.
Yeah.
He's the first coach I've ever seen. He would stay at the facility. I would go in his office. What's up, coach? Got the blanket there. Got the blow-up bed. I'm like, you slept here? Mind your business. But, so, yeah, he gonna have him prepared.
I mean, that's a really good point. Patty is going to have to play extremely well for the Chiefs to win. Jalen Hurts can kind of play average, and they still might have a chance to win.
My boy don't play average. This is a different little wording.
He can play.
He got to play as good.
He'll play all right.
He'll play as well. Don't say that. Yeah, don't
play all right then.
Crazy, Garrett Wilson, superstar receiver for the Jets, has chimed in on Twitter regarding Zach Wilson getting benched. It's too late to get traded. Championship is there. But we will respond and show you what Garrett Wilson posted when we return. A little shocking, actually, when you see his words. Next on Speak.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hi, family. Garrett Wilson, star receiver for the Jets. He chimed in after the breaking news of Zach Wilson getting benched. On Twitter, he said, y'all so quick to, never mind, just stay on that side forever. Forever, he said, Shady. Just stay on that side forever. What you make of it, James? You're a wide receiver. Joy, what you make of it?
Was he, like, actually responding to this? Because, you know, sometimes people just be saying things on X that just unprovoked. We sure he's talking about Zach Wilson?
Cool. We don't know for sure.
Okay. I mean, if it's anybody I'm excited for, is Garrett Wilson. Like, he wasn't taking no shots down the football field, and you a really good player and a really good route runner. So I'm excited to see him. Boy, I'm going to throw the ball down the field to you. I want to see you ball out. The first thing Aaron Rodgers said when he got hurt was, I'm sorry, young fella, because he know how great you are. So I don't know what that means.
What's the backup name, Tim?
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle.
All right, family, we appreciate y'all. You could be watching any show. You hung with us. Root for the Eagles to win, because then Slim is back in the building.